This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Talo Falava and welcome everyone to Neesian Footy, the best spot to keep in touch with Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes and next to me is my Cook Island Coey, Tinita Arona. T, no footy this week in terms of NRL, done and dusted, big grand final.
Kia ora Sammy and kia ora to all our listeners. Yes, the NRL and NRLW is finished, but there is still plenty of rugby league to talk about. We have the Pacific Championships kicking off in a couple weeks' time. We also have the Prime Minister's 13 game, Australia versus PNG, that is happening this weekend. So we will dive deep into the Pacific Championships teams, Tonga, Fiji, Cook Islands, you know, some of those players who I think will make a huge difference. And Sammy, you've still got a bit of rugby to talk about as well.
Yeah, little line underneath all of that, just saying, Sammy, you have rugby union news as well, which we do. We'll cover some of the WXV3 games between Manusina Samoa and Madagascar, also Fijiana and Spain, as well as the WXV2 match between the Wallaroos. So plenty there as well.
Hey, and before we get into the news, we almost forgot Sala Tonga Tuki.
Oh, yeah.
We will be talking to her, but she has been announced or named in the Gillaroos Australian team. Huge congratulations to Sala. And speaking of Sala, I went to a clinic out in Western Sydney yesterday, you know, held by my good friends that run the FTA clinic. And, you know, she was there the week that she's been announced for Australia. She was there giving back her time, they run like a rugby league clinic for all the kids in Western Sydney, different age groups, and a number of different coaches that volunteer.
Some stars
some
there.
Some huge stars. You had
big
Sala
names.
Tonga Tuki, Andrew Fifita. You even had Tai Tuivasa come down.
Big
he was
bam
on the
bam.
Barbecue, UFC fighter doing the sausages.
Did I see Isaac Tungo there as well?
Is that Isaac Tungo, yep.
Straight off the grand final.
Grand final week. Thursday, he comes in on a Thursday with his four rings, showing all the kids. I just want to show some love to the FTA community because, you know, they put that on and all the volunteers that helped for the kids.
That's
out west.
How you build dreams, just like that. Showing those four rings, so inspiring the next generation of players coming through. Outstanding work to all those players.
Hi, I'm Yasmin Clydesdale, and you're listening to Neesian Footy.
Yazzie, she's killed it this year. Well, she is a specimen. Looking forward to seeing her rip up in the PAC Champs. And that's where we are going to start. T, Rugby League PAC Champs.
Yep.
The teams are out.
All the teams are out, except for the PNG team, because they'll be doing, I think they're going to name theirs after the Prime Minister's 13.
Gotcha.
But just a couple names on the Australia and New Zealand team. So we've got Hamiso Tabuai-Fido, The Hammer, and Xavier Coates. They will be representing Australia. So well done to them two boys. I think they're going to add some spark to that Kangaroos team. They have no Payne Haas or no Tino Faasau-Maliaui or Valentine Holmes due to injuries. But you still got those two boys. In the Kiwis, Jermaine Isako, Samoan, but also born in New Zealand. Christchurch he was born in. He'll be still representing the Kiwis. And they've got the two Cook Islanders, Chance Nicol-Klogstad and also Marata Niokore, who'll be representing the Kiwis. And they've even called in Sean Johnson from his retirement.
So because of Jerome Hughes,
yeah, he was carrying an injury. So Sean Johnson will be back in representing the Kiwis. And they will be in the Pacific. So both Australia and Kiwis will be in the Pacific Championship Cup. So they'll be playing for the Cup alongside the Kingdom of Tonga. So the Tongan team, bro, they are stacked, man. When you look at the four players that are making their debut, so Kulikefu, Fene Feuyaki, Lehi Hopoate, Isaiah Iongi from Penrith, and also Tanyala Paseka, those four boys, they'll add that spark. But I think, they'll add to their strength, which is their pack, their go-forward. Jeez, when you look at some of these names, Adam Fanua-Blake, Jason Taumalolo, Keon Kolomatangi, Homole Olakuatu alongside Taniela Paseka. What a stacked pack. You know, some of the best players in the NRL, some of the best go forward. They are the best players in their clubs. Man, it's crazy to see Tonga put together such a stacked squad.
Yeah, love seeing those names crossing over and representing that red jersey.
Now, looking at the Fijian team, so just a few names that stand out for me. You've got the grand finalist winner and the NRL premiership winner, Sunia Turuva. You've also got Micah Sivo, Tane Milne, who plays for the South Sydney Rabbitohs. He's actually got, I think he might have the most offloads, or one of the most offloads in the whole of NRL this season. And then the veteran, who I didn't even know was Fijian. I thought he was just Tongan.
He denied it for a long time during school.
I've known him for a long time. Michael Jennings, representing Fiji.
Who at the ripe age Tongan. Of 36.
36 he will be this 36, year. Yeah, 36. So, geez, even just that experience. But then you add that with Sunia Turuva, Micah Sivo. But then two big boys in their pack, Tui Kamikamitha and Viliami Kikau. Jeez, you just look at those names. Like I said, with the Tongan team, you know, these boys, they're like one of their, they are their standout players in the NRL team. So
I've got a smoky for you in that Fijian team as well. A huge
give it
smoky.
To me. What do you got?
Remember early in the year, and we mentioned it on radio, where you gave some crucial fullback to a young SG ball winger, Jethro Rinakama. I sent you a message about, you know, what can he do defensively in the air.
And I sent you that 5-page text message.
On how to stay connected and not get in front of your man or get your space in, right? He's been injected into the Fijian Butti squad after going from SG Ball with the Bulldogs. They won the grand final. Yep.
SG Ball.
And then played Flegg.
Jersey Flegg.
I think they lost the SG Ball final, but they won the Flegg grand final not long ago. He scored a try for them. And now the young 18-year-old gets to represent his heritage there with Fiji Butti, Jethro Rinakama. So since your feedback, he's gone
upwards.
He's gone north.
Well, remember that name. Speed and agility. You know, they always, the thing I found with Fiji as well, they always play with high energy. You know, they've got that flair. So, the thing I love about Fiji when they go into these camps, you can sense that brotherhood, that connection they all have. It's like they all go to the NRL team. When they come from the NRL clubs and then they all go into camp, they go and speak their Fijian slang.
They're straight into it.
They got straight away, they go into that Fijian slang. They're all speaking like they're speaking to each other, they're all family members, brothers, cousins. But I love the passion they have for their country. You know, when they wrap arms and they have their hymn before the game kicks off.
My favorite part. How many rugby league test matches have Fiji played on home soil? It wouldn't be many, would there? Like, this is a huge occasion for them, considering, you know, how big rugby union is over there and the support that they get for their national team and the draw.
Yeah, from memory, I don't think there's been, well, I can't remember any of the international rugby league games. So,
yeah, so hopefully they get out there in force. Yeah,
get out there and watch them play PNG next week.
Beautiful.
And then the Cook Islands. I'll wrap it up with the Cookies. So there are a number of NRL players like Davey Moali from South Sydney Rabbitohs, Xavier Willison, the tall prop for the Brisbane Broncos, Tapai Moridua, who plays for the Storm, Ruben Porter, who we've had on our show on Nijan Footy. He made his NRL debut for the West Tigers at the age of 26, I think he is. And you got Makahise Makatoa, who plays for the Parramatta Eels. But there's this one kid, Mason Teague, who plays. He played a number of games for the Dolphins last year. He will be speaking to all the boys in the Cook Island camp. They've got big rats on Mason Teague and looking forward to his services when he represents the Cook Islands and the 15 Stars. So, yeah, some huge games to look forward to. I love the squads. I love all the boys putting their hand up to play, and yeah, it's going to be a cracker. PNG 13. So with the PNG team, a number of PNG Hunters players that have been selected in this team are probably the majority of the Hunters players. So they'll be taking on this Australian Prime Minister's 13s team. But how good is it for these boys to play Australia on home soil in Port Moresby, you know, where rugby league is a religion. You know, it's not just a game, it's a religion to the people of PNG. And, you know, for the locals, for the PNG Hunters players to be able to, you know, perform in front of their home, of their home people, of the locals, it's a quite a special moment for these players.
Leads in nicely to culture shock, doesn't it? T, you've got something for us. You haven't forgotten PNG and the rugby league fanatics over there.
That is a great question, but I'll have
something
for
you.
I'll have something for you by that time of the show, mate. And I think let's add this one to the. This one will be our knockout tipping comp. So we'll put in PNG versus Australia. And that's about it for rugby league for now, Sammy. This, you'd never believe, like, the NRL just finished, NRLW just finished, and we've still got plenty to talk about when it comes to rugby league.
I have to always cut my time because you just take too long in the rugby league space.
Or wait till we get to Salah.
Oh, yeah.
We've got plenty of news so to
may
talk
as well,
about.
I may as well keep the rugby union short, but there is plenty happening. On Monday, I mentioned two names, two rising stars. Heinz Limoto, the number 8 that played in the Aussie 18s rugby union team that beat New Zealand schools, and a winger, Hemasi Makasini, on the he played on the left wing there for Australia in the under 18s. And I said, watch out for those two players. There's rugby league deals on the table for them, and within the space of about 2 hours, I see that Hemasi Makasini has rejected rugby union and signed with the West Tigers on a 3-year deal. He's just left school.
Sorry, are we still doing league news?
Yeah, I know. League news. It's still league news. Infiltrated my rugby union news.
Oh, good. You caught it. And the day you caught it was the announcement.
2 hours later. The only thing I got wrong, I said it was a 5-year deal, but he signs for 3. But he's a freak of a player. He's going to go well in rugby league.
Did you say Bulldogs?
No, he's going to the Tigers.
Tigers are signing some players. They've got a number of players coming over. Like,
that's enough out of you. It's rugby union now, mate. Yeah, all right, get out of it.
Almost had it.
Almost. But there are some matches between Fiji and Spain this weekend in the WXV3 competition. Spain is looking to take top spot and win that title, and they have an opportunity to qualify for the World Cup. And this is a crucial test match for Fiji. It's going to be a tough test match. Since they qualified for the World Cup and won the Oceania Championships early in the year, they have only won 2 out of their last 7 test matches. So I don't know if it's complacency or it's been on the road or getting used to a longer test season, but this is going to be, I believe, a test of their attitude and intent going into this game, because they actually don't really have anything to play for, and Spain do. This is a World Cup spot for them, and them leading into this game, Fijiana, how they want to finish their season, their test year, leading into their new test year next year, going into a World Cup year, I believe it's a big preparation and a big step in terms of their mental and their mindset on what's required to go to that next level. Because when you look at their test matches, 2 out of their last 7, considering they won their 3 from 3 when they needed to play for something and qualify for the World Cup, it shows that they're capable. But how do you stay consistent and in that grind? So we'll see what happens in that game, because they need a bounce back from their 45-17 loss to Samoa the week before. On Samoa, they have a huge game. Manusina Samoa, they take on, who do they take on, T?
They take on Madagascar.
You're the man, bro. Good work. You were paying attention. They take on Madagascar. A win against Madagascar would secure their qualification for the 2025 Women's Rugby World Cup. So that's huge for them, a lot to play for. They have played some outstanding footy in the last month. They've beaten Australia A in Samoa after the bell with that unreal penalty goal, hitting the crossbar and going over. They had a record win over Fiji last week. They've drawn against the Netherlands, and a victory over Madagascar will cement their spot to qualify in the World Cup, and which will cap off a remarkable year if they do that. For Samoa, so unreal for them. Hopefully France Bloomfield carves up again to help them do that. In the WXV2 competition, Australia sit on top of the table and they are playing Scotland, who are coming second. The winner of this game will be crowned the champs of the WXV2. The Wallaroos, they have an unchanged starting lineup. But on the bench, we have Fa'a Sasalu, Fuisaina, and Alapeta Ngao'amo. They come onto the bench as the only changes for the Wallaroos. Hopefully, they can finish their test season on a better note from, I guess, how they started. I was going to say this Phoenician knowledge tea for next Monday, but it probably deserves the recognition right now. Cook Islander Ash Masters will become the most capped Wallaroo player of all time. After this weekend, she'll be playing her 34th game in the gold jersey, and she'll surpass teammate Liz Patu. So that's huge news for Masters. You know, Cook Island, fellow Cook Islander.
Most ever Wallaroos player after this weekend.
After this weekend.
Is a Cook Islander.
Is a Cook Islander.
That's awesome.
So I was going to save that for Nisian knowledge, but I thought, no, we need to recognise that right now, because that's a huge achievement.
Still, bring it up, Nisian knowledge next week.
Yeah. Do you reckon you'll remember?
Probably not.
No, you will. You will.
I won't.
You're saying that. You always want a point.
I just want another point.
And I'm glad you brought this to my attention when you said, how good's this game? I opened the link and it was the Melbourne Rebels have taken Rugby Australia to court. So I thought it was going to be some good news. And I was like, where's the good news in our game?
To give our listeners a bit of a picture, paint that picture, we've got a chat group and I just put the link in and I followed it with the comments and what a game, man. So Sam's like, yeah
bro, what a game. What is highlights. It? What is this?
And
is
then
it
he
me?
Opens the link and it was the Rebels launch a $30 million lawsuit against Rugby Australia.
Yes, it's again, after some big news that they will no longer be in the competition in the men's game, hoping that they will be there for the Super W, but last week they announced the Melbourne Rebels won't be in the Super W competition, and now this week the Melbourne Rebels, as T mentioned, are seeking $30 million in damage and are taking Rugby Australia to court. Yeah, the Melbourne Rebels Club claims that Rugby Australia breached financial obligations, particularly failing to support the Rebels when they struggled to meet, you know, their employment liabilities and prioritising like the team's, like the Waratahs and the Brumbies when they were in a similar position. So the Rebels feel like they were unfairly treated and they have asked Rugby Australia to open up their books because they feel like they've mishandled some of the money, including the money during the 2023 Rugby World Cup. So that's the lawsuit and they're the grounds that they're basing it off. It's not, again, not good news, especially with the amount of Pacifica talent in Melbourne and one of those we just spoke about. The Cook Island most capped Wallaroo after this week.
Ash Melbourne. Masters.
She's from down there, born and bred down in Melbourne. She's played for the Rebels and she will be looking for a new home. So you have players like that who've come through the system from Melbourne, no longer have that opportunity for the next generation coming through. So not good news, but hopefully it gets solved quickly. Super Rugby Pacific draw is out. The drawer, blockbuster games in Suva and Lotoka, which I'll... Hopefully, that's what they told me. I'll be heading over for those games. But Moana Pacifica, big game for them on the 21st of March against the Chiefs. They are heading to Tonga to play at Delphiva Stadium. So that will be
Save
the date for that one. The 19th of April, Moana have another home game against the Brumbies. The venue is to be confirmed. So I'm hoping that will be in Samoa. I'll keep you posted on that when it comes to light. But other than that, that's all I've got for Rugby Union.
Beautiful, Sammy. Well, let's head straight over to the new Jillaroo, Sala Tongatuki.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes away to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, again, we are blessed with her presence. Our New South Wales Origin NRLW star, Sala Tongatuki. First of all, I just want to say a big congratulations from everyone here at Nijan Footy and all our listeners. Yo. Congratulations on making the Jillaroo squad for this upcoming Pac Champs. How good? How's that feeling?
Thanks, guys. Yeah, it's I still didn't like sunk in yet. Hey, the selection. Like I was just I had like Kezzy Apps just messaged me first thing, like before the team had been announced and before I got my phone call. And I was confused what she was on about and I was getting really nervous. But you can see she's captain and she must have been told beforehand who was going to be in the team and all that. But yeah, I'm shocked, honestly. Been waiting for this opportunity to come about, and I did have plans of hoping to make it last year, but obviously it was delayed with my injury, and I was just gutted and spewing, and I just knew that, okay, like I have to just really work hard now to like try and like obviously repeat the same season I had or try and do something as close as to that. But yeah, I'm stoked. I couldn't be any more thankful to God, like honestly, for this opportunity. I'm so grateful.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
That's crazy. You just reminded me of your journey this season and going through State of Origin, not winning the series, but then having a tough start to the NRLW season.
Even coming back from the injury.
Coming back from the injury.
To get into Origin, like it's been a huge year.
Huge year. And then to get this news, I'm sure you'd be pumped. And I'm smiling. I'm so proud of you. We're all here. Very proud of you. So you're saying that the captain, Kezzy Apps, she was messaging you before you got your phone call from the coach.
Yeah. Like her message was like, I wasn't sure if it was, yes, you're picked or like, I don't know, congrats or something else. I just wasn't sure. Like, so when, it's pretty blunt. Like,
so when did you finally like realize, oh, actually, I'm in the team, I've been selected?
Yeah, cause like, it's honestly, you guys, like, it's hard to like put yourself in that kind of the selection criteria because, like, this, like, obviously, my team position and like, we just won't perform at the start of the year, and I just thought, like, right, well, I guess not going to be looked at. Like, that's just me. Like, obviously, when you got good team results, you sort of believe in, like, your ability and like, everything that's just happening, like, individually. So, I don't know, like, I was just shocked. I wasn't sure what Kezzy was on about, but I was in the car with my nephew and nieces, and we were on our way to the beach to celebrate one of my niece's birthdays, and I just had, I got a phone call from the club manager. And it was just strange. Like, it wasn't from the Aussie coach. It was from actually our club manager, Betsy. And I was just like, okay, why is he calling me on a weekend or on Monday? Like, so then picked up and he was just saying, like, obviously, blah, 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 you got picked. And I told him, I was like, can I just call you back? And, oh, my God, you want to cry.
That's awesome. That's so good.
No, that's unreal, Salah. Like, to see you and hear the emotion, how much it means to you, to wear that jersey and represent your family, man, it's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it shows how much it means to you and how hard you've pushed to achieve this great goal of yours. And it's something you should be proud of, and I'm sure all your family are proud as well. We've seen on Instagram how you announced this news to your family. It was quite emotional for our listeners. Do you want to explain a bit about how you, gave this news to your mum and also the rest of your family?
Yeah. My dad was working that day, so he couldn't come out to the beach, and same as my other family, like members, my siblings and that. So, it's my family's been the backbone, in my corner. Since I wanted to, I aspire to be a Jillaroo. I obviously played in 2018 and I just wasn't thinking ahead, with the whole international stuff. I was just enjoying the journey of just officially being in the NRW. I was young at the time, and I guess, when I was ready to, sorry, I'm crying so ugly because it's so emotional.
If someone's looking in from your window and thinking, is she okay?
Is she going through a breakup?
Tears of joy.
Doesn't look like tears of joy. I think it was 2020 in COVID. That's when I was actually I was like looking at my footy and myself, and I was like, what am I doing? Like, why am I even still playing? I needed to find more purpose in my game. And I couldn't think of a better way when I sat down with my parents, and then I seen how much they enjoyed, like, not even just the rugby league, but just seeing the Australia teams, like rugby union, and even just like looking at the Olympic stuff and that. But my parents, like, they enjoyed it like so much, like how much Australia has really changed their lives and the lifestyle, like us young ones, their babies have now. And when I told them, like, oh, you know, I'm going to try my hardest to make the Aussie team, to do the Roos. And we did watch the World Cup, and I think in 2017, and they were just, like, so amazed. Like, in the game, I don't think the game was as big as then, back then. No NRW, nothing, right? To, like, you're questioning, how do you even make the Jillaroos? Like, you know what I mean? Like, because there was no NRW at the time. So you're like, oh, righto, like, just every girl, like, that was just playing whatever footy, like, whether it was mixed or a nines comp, I mean, like, junior rugby league, you just didn't know how you're going to get up there. But when we saw NRW, like I said, I wanted to enjoy just NRW. As soon as I seen a clear pathway, like how they select the team, I sort of thought, okay, right, I'm just going to try. And I did open up to my parents, open up to a couple of my close friends and people that were in my corner helping me be try and be a better athlete. And then pretty much it was a devastating year for me. I think it was 2021, 2022 when we did the catch-up NRW. And I thought I was in the book. I was right in there to make Australia. When I got the Karen Murphy medal, the grand final, how we started play at the start of the year. And just thought I had a good season, a good prep going into the 2022 season. And I was just so unlucky with some games. I didn't have any. I was injured and I had to keep getting taken off the field. And then when it came to the selection press conference, I got a phone call from Brad, and he was just honest with me, and he was just saying that, oh, you know, so like, you know, one of the Jillaroo's values is resilience, and I just didn't think you showed enough of that in your season that just finished. And I was gutted, like, I didn't know how to take it. Like, it was complete rejection to me. Like, I was like, oh. And I was just crying. My mom and dad were all there, and my partner as well. And I was just crying. I was in a mess. I was literally a mess. And in all honesty, when I look back, I could have, like, two ways I could have taken it. I could have just, like, stuffed it and obviously try and move on and work hard, just try and do it again. Or I could have just gave up on a game. And I was on a brink of giving up on a game. And I was just, I think it was a good week. I was just crying. And while the games were, the World Cup was happening, I was literally just crying. Like, it was so hard for me to watch. And then my partner randomly, we were driving my car one time, and he knew I had boots. I always keep a boot in my car, and we were driving. He stopped at the fields, and I was like, oh, what are we even doing here? And I was still like down. And he was like, oh, well, he walked out and he just went straight to the fields, and I walked out. And I didn't know he grabbed my boots, and I'd already gone to the fields. And he was like, well, you got to do something about this. He was like, you got to get on this field right now and run with me, or you can go sit in that car and you can just say goodbye to footy and just, like, keep crying the way you have been. It hurts. Yeah, he was saying it hurts him to see me the way I am, and he just knew that I had, because he was there when a phone call happened, and resilience is big, because I feel like I failed my family when I heard that. Knowing that I do everything for my family and seeing their sacrifice and seeing their own resilience, and I thought I had that in me. And I thought wrong. Like, I guess I was on my own journey to figure that out. And I'm grateful to my partner. He pushed me and told me, right. And I just started running. I got there and just did it. And I was crying. I didn't want to do the running. And I was just being a sook and stuff. And I'm grateful to my partner. He put up with it. And we got better and better. And I started enjoying running. I started enjoying just doing what he was making me do. And I guess I then had to, that's what sort of led me to my decision of having to leave the Roosters and go to the West Tigers, is I just knew I needed to put myself in a new environment. Nothing wrong with the Roosters and the family, like, big respect to them. And they sort of understood too, like, I had to just leave. I was in a dark place already, and I put my health, mental health first. And I knew I had a good, like, a with the whole running thing with my partner. I felt fitter and ready to just start somewhere new. And I guess that's what I did with North Sydney Bears. I had a good season, Harvey Norman of them, and that led to me just being with the West Tigers. And I started finding my passion and love for footy again. And I had that same dream in me again to still want to represent Australia. I'll be honest with you, like I said, two ways. Like, I had New Zealand Kiwi for the coach, Mark Henry, and he's been, as soon as he heard that I wasn't in the Jillaroos, he's been after me from the World Cup campaign, even till now, before I got my phone call. After the game I played against Cowboys, he reached out and was seeing again if I was just willing to go to Kiwi Ferns. And I was like, it was just hard because I would not. There's nothing for me that connects me to the black, like the Ferns jersey. And yep. I know there's so many girls out there that I would much rather, who would put 100% have the passion, desire to want to put on and play for the Blacks jersey. And I know I wouldn't. I'd be so unfair on that person. So I trusted my gut. I trusted myself. And if I did enough this season to be picked, I'd be sweet, like, you know. But it was shot, like, it was, like I said, my team position, and I just didn't think I was getting looked at in that way. But then if I didn't, I was like, okay, that's fine. I was going to be okay with it. I've grown up enough to know, like, what rejection feels like, and it's not the end of the world. Like, you just got to do something about it. And for me, in my case, I was just like, yeah, I had my family, my partner, my corner. It was just constantly reminding me that you can still go after this goal and still, like, push for your dreams. Like, the sky is the limit, and honestly, I'm here now, and want to make the most of it when we go into camp. So, yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, so, no, that's first of all, thank you for sharing, because I think there's plenty of gold and plenty of lessons in, you know, what you just said. First one for me was, I think we got to realize that a lot of our Pacific community and players have a strong connection to Australia, because, you know, Australia gave their parents the opportunity to give their kids the opportunity to play, you know, at the highest level in NRL, in NRLW. So for them to repay back their families like you are, representing the gold jersey is a huge honour, and it's a way where, you know, you get to respect your mum and dad, and also respect the country that gave them opportunity. So very proud of you for that. The other one was, you know, the way that you overcame adversity. Yeah, you took it, you know, you went head first, went at it, instead of trying, you know, like your partner said, crying in the car or getting out on the field and doing something about it. So,
such a male way to fix it, eh? Like, can we just go do something about it? just get out there. I'm done. He's not, he didn't care if you made Australian, or he's just sick of you crying. Like, get out there. Let's just do something about it.
But then look at the season you've had. Like, we talk, like, that message you got from the coach when you were at the Roosters, you know, not showing enough resilience throughout the season. You guys went through a rough start, but then you end up winning the last two games. You know, if there's nothing more that shows 100%. Resilience and the way that you perform. Thanks, so guys. I think that goes a long way in showing the character you have and the work that you've put in, and, you know, it's all paying off now. So congratulations. And yeah, I'm looking forward to you representing the gold jersey. What a
thank
achievement.
You.
Well, let's quickly touch on the NRLW grand final last weekend. You know, our beloved Roosters, they got up a strong start, strong first half. You know, going in at halftime 24-0, but then the Sharkies, you know, making a late comeback. What were your thoughts on this grand final?
Oh, honestly, like, it was crazy. Second half and seeing Sharks, I just loved just seeing that from the Sharks coming back in the second half. Like, they didn't give up, and it could have been their game, actually. And I don't know what to even think. Like, I was just mind blown. Like, one of the best grand finals, in my opinion, for the women's. Like, it just showed, like, obviously Bruce just led really well in the first half. But, yeah, just to see the Sharks girls come back like that, I was just stoked. And I knew Ellie Johnson, no doubt, would have crossed that line. But Olivia Koenig, like, and big congrats, like, Taryn Aiken. Like, she did direct her team really well. And it was a glimpse, like, patches of the games where you just seen her just, like, take it to the line, her ball playing, and just got, you know, a couple of the girls through. And I think one of them was Jess Sergis, or not sure, and sort of scored her own try there. But, Yeah, no, Olivia Koenig, she was big for me, to be honest. And even Jocelyn Kelleher, they were bombs up in the air, like, and just getting, like, you know, repeated sets for her team is what we saw in that. Like, we saw Olivia Koenig just play off the back of that, and she scored, obviously, the opening try.
Do you think
and if, the winning try of that game.
Do you think if the Sharks had just a little bit of a better start, even just scored one try or stopped one try from the Roosters scoring, do you think the result could have been a bit different?
Oh, 100%. Like they're the team that can start a bit slow as well, but, like, I feel like they let the Roosters go two ahead of them in the first half.
Yeah.
If they limited, like, you know, I think it was so, like, especially, like, just the errors and that's all it was too. Like, it wasn't anything, like, they, every time they had the ball and they were making their own yardages down, meters, like, they were, like, literally 10, 20 meters in, like, out from their own try line. Like, there was nothing wrong with how they could execute and just, like, get down there. Like, it was a matter of just, like, how they were just, like, obviously they're just catching the balls and that in the yardage and not holding on to that, like, just to keep ball security and that. Like, they were just, they were making it harder for themselves to get down there. Like, if we saw what they did in second half, the minute they got down there, it was try. Like, they just knew, like, Tiana Penetani, oh my days, like, if it was the other way around and Sharks had won, she would be my player of the match. Just seeing her take advantage, and they knew they were going down that left edge really well. He had just, like, Sergius, like, credit to her, like, had her knee there, like, it was, and I knew she's, like, she's just the most resilient person I know. And she had she come back from an MCL, and, like, T probably knew as well, like, she had no way of doing lateral movement there. T's footwork around there and scored herself two tries in the grand final. It was, like, that's a big boost, and that just showed her leadership and willingness and that for the Sharks girls and that.
You can definitely see why you tipped the Sharks for a big upset. And I think if they had half a decent start in the first half, you know, yeah, the results would be different. But you mentioned Tiana Penetani, and, you know, I'm looking forward to watching you two tear it up for Australia, you know, partnering.
Oh, my gosh.
So cool that she also got selected in the same squad. But speaking of the Pacific Championships, you know, which... we've got Tonga, Samoa, Fiji, Cook Islands, and also you girls and the Kiwis. Are there any names, you know, with our Pacific nations, are there any names that stand out for you that have been selected in, you know, Tonga, Samoa, Fiji or Cook Islands?
Yeah,
or,
for sure.
PNG, PNG as well.
Yeah, and PNG. What's it called? I'm so proud. So I'm going to be a bit biased with my own teammate, Natasha Penetani, who's going to be captaining side by side with Nesfoliaki.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's huge. Like, honestly, like, there's some players in there that have been playing NRW a bit longer, and this is her first year. And I could, like, even having, like, I could just see the respect that Kevin has on, you know, this this pick, because he had Tiana Penetani there last year, and I just know it's most fitting for Tash. This is going to help her own leadership grow and her journey and playing representative footy. She'll just get better and better, I know, from this, and it's going to push her even more and take her game to another level when she goes and represent Tonga. But the age that she's at, like, she's so young, pretty sure she's, like, only, like, 23, 24, and she's going to be captain, right? And it's so fitting that she's the person doing it, because she knows the shoes that she's going to be filling is her own sister. And knowing, like, the bond that them both have together, it's like they don't want to disappoint one another ever. And, yeah, I can't wait.
It's so cool to see Natasha Penetani captain the co-captain the Tongan women's team. Also, we've seen last week Vania Peliti alleged to Samoa. What are your thoughts on her being selected?
Yeah, we I've known this for a while. We've been talking, and she did tell me she was gonna go, and I guess, like, I'm not sure, like, Jamie Soward, like, he's trying to put the best team together as well. And this was Vania's, like, she just felt it was the right time for her, and it was a hard decision as well. It wasn't the easiest, and, you know, one, my thing was going to play for Samoa, was trying to qualify the girls for the World Cup given that there's only one spot available. And then you've got, if you play for Gillaroos, you're in the picture to play in America, Las Vegas, and which is early next year. And it was tough for her. She would have loved to go and do that. But I guess we've seen now she's made her mind up and, you know, it is a part of her, the culture, Samoa, and she just thought it was the right time. And there's not much years left in playing a game. And it was only right and fitting that she thought, like, I'm going to go and do it and make represent her mom and her family side and that, and make them proud. No doubt she will. And I did tell some of the girls already, like my teammates at the Tigers, Pauline and Chris, that, you know, and they knew too. I'm just waiting on the call from, like, for Gillaroos. And it was just hard, you know, having to discuss these things about Samoa, because I would have loved to go and play as well and be beside Barney and all the other great players that are going to go play. But, yeah, I told those girls, and just seeing how lit up and excited they were.
Oh, that's
and
good.
Us, we spoke about this in a year earlier in the years for NRW. All you need is one person that's got that, like, you know, game on them, like that energy. And Vanya is going to be that for Samoa, and it's going to be so good.
I think the good thing about that, like, two different perspectives. You've chosen Australia. She's chosen Samoa. But what I've said, because some people have asked, oh, why have they chosen? Why don't they go play for Samoa or Tonga? I mean, it doesn't matter what jersey our Pacific talent puts on. You know, 100% they're representing their families, their community, their culture. It doesn't matter if it's gold, red, or blue. So we have two loves, and you put it perfectly, T. Like, the opportunity that the people before us came to set up in Australia or New Zealand or wherever for a better life, that's what they're doing. They're repaying that back as well. So no matter what, like, the support from especially us two here, doesn't matter what jersey, because you know full well if you got that Samoan blood pumping in you, there's when you cross that white line, it's
you're
representing. So we want to wish you all the best for that, and even Avania just Thanks, making guys. A big decision.
Well, looking at the squads, Tonga, Samoa, they'll play their first game against each other next week in Suva, Fiji. Me and Sammy will be there, but just quickly, who wins?
Tonga, thank you. That's all we got time for today.
I can't even pick. Like, obviously, like, I'm proud, like, someone, and you know, I'd love to, like, see, you know, their girls and that. We've got a lot of close friends in there, but I also have some mates in a Tonga team, so I'm not going to pick. I'm also proud
you're sitting
of
on
Tonga
the
girl.
You're sitting on the you're fence. You're sitting on the fence. I do it all the time, so I don't blame you. To finish us up, I'm just going to quickly look back at our NRL tips that we had at the start of the year. So, you, Sala, you tipped the winner to be the Roosters. Your Smokey was the Cowboys, and the Bulldogs got the wooden spoon. I won't be telling Captain Stephen Crichton that one, because he definitely proved you wrong with the Bulldogs. But the Cowboys came close, just didn't have enough petrol in the end. And funny thing was, Sammy and Sala, all three of us picked the Roosters to win this year. They got to the top four, but Melbourne Storm were just too strong. Sammy, your Smoker was Manly. Same again, got close, but just not close enough. But your wooden spoon, Sammy, was the Eels.
Close.
Very close. Very and close. Then my Smoker was Bulldogs, and then my spoon were the Tigers. So I got that one right.
I can't believe none of us chose Penrith. But anyway, We'll choose them next year.
We should have, and I know you picked them last week. Definitely Penrith to beat the Storm. So great work, Sala. And, I mean, why didn't we pick Penrith? I ended up changing my mind after you. But thanks again, Sala. We wish you all the best in the Pack Champs. I know you're going into camp soon, so yeah, go in, rip in, and really enjoy every moment.
Thanks, boys.
Culture shock.
Yes, culture shock. Last week, I took everyone to Wallace and Futuna and talked about their Tongan influence over there. Very strong Tongan influence over in Wallace and Futuna, on one of the islands. And
the three islands.
The three islands where, I can't remember.
And then some of the villages are named after Tongan influence. Villages.
And then one of the islands was Samoan influence and the Cook Islands where no one lives. And then that was your influence over
there. And then
there.
They went to France to protect them from the nations and the coming Samoans. Over, trying to come and take the Wallace and Futuna. It was actually a good story. I enjoyed it.
Oh, thanks, T. This one's going to be
better. I
remembered
it all too.
Yeah, good. I'm
after
glad something
busy,
sticks.
Busy week.
Yep. You're going to take us to PNG and give us some facts about
PNG and rugby league.
Yeah, their obsession with rugby league. What have you got for me?
I went and dug deep. You know, it's not that hard when you know the connection between rugby league and PNG and how much love they have for the game. But I've got a few fun facts for you. So PNG was the first Pacific Island country to have a national rugby league team formed in 1974.
Really?
So out of all the Pacific Islands, PNG was the first country to, yeah, have a national rugby league team. This was another interesting fact. So they've had a number of legendary players, guys like David Mead, Paul Aton, Keith Peters,
KP,
Xavier Coates, but Marcus Baier, I've heard his name a number of times when I played over
Melbourne,
in England.
Melbourne Storm,
Leeds Rhinos. He became the first Papua New Guinean to win both an NRL Premiership and a Super League title.
That's a
huge achievement. And I didn't, living in England, I apologize. I didn't even know Marcus Baier was Papua New Guinean.
Didn't you?
No, I didn't. But here is the big fact that I found, and I struggled to find a picture online, but it says here on ChatGPT. So in 2017, we know how much PNG love rugby league. But in 2017, PNG released a rugby league themed banknote by the Bank of Papua New Guinea featuring several prominent PNG Cornwall players. And it says here, David Mead was on the 10 Kina special edition.
No, Meadie's on a banknote.
I tried to find the photo. I couldn't find it, but it says here you'll be able to find David Mead, the Cornwall's captain, during that 2017 World Cup on the special edition 10 Kina banknote. So I wonder if that's still around somewhere.
I think of the time when you first got on your first poster or when you wanted to be in a rugby league or rugby union game when they came out on the consoles.
Playing cards. When you get a card, you're like, that was the goal.
That was the goal. Yeah, imagine being on a banknote. Like, that's next level. Meaty. And he's got plenty of it too. So I wonder how much did you say? 10 kina?
10 kina note.
I wonder how many 10 kina notes he's got stored away.
That's a huge achievement. So you heard from David Mead, Marcus Baier, and the first Pacific country to have a national rugby league team. So that's how Culture Shock's done, Sammy.
You've shocked me, T. Absolutely love that.
Next week we're off to Fiji, Suva, to cover the PAC champs over there. And, you know, why not you being quarter Fijian next week when we're live in Fiji, give me a Culture Shock about Fiji and rugby league.
Senga nalenga.
Throw a little
curveball. You know what that means? Senga nalenga. No worries in Fijian. Easy as. Let's do that. Can't wait to have our show over in Fiji next week as well. And I'll bring you the gold there.
Too easy. So time to get to the competitive part of our show, starting with Professor Bolo.
Quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
Yes, Professor Paulo.
The fit prov. He's over in Bali at the moment, so he's been doing this from Bali.
Is he?
Yes, he's been over there.
All right, if you're new to the show, this is where Professor Paulo gives us a question. We first to answer gets a point. We keep our score, and at the end of the season, the loser has to buy a fancy lunch. Sammy is on 16. I'm on 13. Let's get straight into it.
As we see the Pacific Championship in full flight this week, all squads are named across all Tonga, Cook Islands, Fiji, Tor Samoa. But my question for today is, from those Pacific teams, how many players have played State of Origin?
Oh,
good question. I can hear that.
Oh, so we're going to go closest to...
I can hear him in Bali. I could hear the background noise.
The pool or the beach?
Pool, yeah, the pool or the beach, something in there. But I'm just trying to throw you off so I can think about my answer. So across all the Pacific teams.
Yeah, I'm guessing so, yeah.
Across all of them. Oh, man.
There'd be a number. He's done a job to go through. I answered first last time.
Yeah, so I'll go first. I'm going to go.
Closest to.
Closest to here. I want to go six.
Oh, no way. I'm going seven.
The answer to that question is eight players from Matera Four, Keon Kolomatangi, Hamole.
That was Daniel like last Tupo, week.
Felice Kafusi from Toa Samoa. We've got Jerome Luai, Jeremiah Nainai, Anthony Milford, and Fiji, last one, Michael Jennings.
I didn't factor in Jenko.
And I reckon he would have missed one or two.
Yeah, he's definitely missed some.
Definitely missed a couple. But, hey, it's all good.
Hey, that's not a bad first guess.
So I'm on 14. Jeez, we're closing the gap there.
Closing the gap there. All right.
Let's head over to our knockout tipping comp.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
I think it's safe to say that I've won this one, but this is our knockout tipping
43
comp.
43-35.
Yep. During the season, we could pick one team. We couldn't pick them again until we picked the rest in both NRL and Super Rugby. But now that the tournaments are finished, we will pick from some upcoming games this weekend. I think we start with the Prime Minister's 13 match. PNG Kumul's taking on Australia. And we'll give a handicap. So, what are your thoughts on this game?
I love seeing PNG playing PNG. They always obviously grow an extra leg over there. I'll say the Prime Minister's 13 team for Australia is not as strong as the past, just because of all they've been selected in other nations.
Also, this year I don't think the Prime Minister's 13s, a lot of those players, or all of those players, aren't selected in the Kangaroos team.
Yeah, so there's.
Whereas in the past, they've had a few Kangaroos to prepare them for PAC champs. So.
Yeah, if you didn't make finals footy, you were in that team. So I'm going to go, because of our PNG listeners, I'm just going to straight win.
PNG, head to head.
Head to head.
Don't want to start.
No, well, I'm already down by it.
I'll give you a start.
Well, give me a start. You're in the know there.
I'll give you a Oz.
I'm just looking at that scoreline, so it doesn't even matter. I've lost anyway, but so I'm just going to keep going.
I'll give you a 10-point start.
All right, give me a 10-point start. I'll take that.
10.5.
Yeah, perfect. All right,
sweet.
Done.
10.5.
Let's do that one.
And the girls will do the girls as well.
Which game should we?
So the
Orchids, the Orchids one.
Orchids
right.
versus the women's. I mean,
give me a big head start for the.
Yeah, I was going to
for the Orchids.
Now that Shelley's out, if Shelley Long was in. It would be head-to-head, but because she's out, I will give you a, let's go a 30.
Yeah, 30. I'll take 30.
All right, 29.5 start.
30 and a half start.
30 and a half start, it's yours. Now, thanks, only because Shelley's not playing. sweet. So,
all right.
I'm going to Australia in both men's and women's with a, and you have the PNG teams with a start.
With a start, so.
Two's enough.
Two's enough. Yeah, that's good. We'll keep it there and we'll save it for our Fiji trip next week and do the head-to-head again. So, T,
another episode, show, mate.
Done and dusted for Nesian Footy Friday. Remember, you can listen back to our Monday and Friday shows. Just search for Nesian Footy wherever you get your podcasts. See you in Fiji next week. Lolabina, Nisam Mori.
No, we're going to be here Monday. Ka kite.
Oh, jokes, we are here Monday. My head's already in Fiji. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.